Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. We're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us. Thank you, Jersey Jeffries, for joining us. Nice talking to you, Jersey. What was the question, Margaret?
When is the PGA season?
The PGA starts, I guess, in what?
What's PGA?
The golf, man.
Oh.
It starts January.
Oh, so it's already started.
Yeah, it should be. It should have started. Generally, they play in Hawaii. I don't know where the hell they're playing, but the golf starts. And Dan and I were just talking about golf. And, of course, that's a sport that we just don't want to get too far into because it's,
Yeah, you said you got kicked. You got kicked. Ass kicked. Did you get ass kicked?
Yeah.
Did I get kicked, ass kicked, kicked? What the hell is that, man?
Bud, do you know what you're saying?
Yeah, did you say you got kicked? Did you get kicked ass?
Did I get kicked ass? Did somebody kick my ass?
Yeah.
Yes. Bud wants me to admit that my former father-in-law kicked my ass out. Yes, he did. Okay, does that make you feel better?
Well, I mean, the guy was like 60, 70 or whatever he said. Whatever he said he was.
He was 70-something. And he beat my ass, yeah. Because you know why? Because those guys got nothing better to do than play golf. Because every day they're playing golf. Morning, noon, and night they're playing golf. You know.
Well, Phil, don't be bitter.
Not bitter? I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. You know, it happens to the best of us. My father-in-law beat me at golf. Why? Because the guy's golfing every day. You know.
Well, he's entitled to it, man. He lived a long life.
I'm not saying he's not entitled to it.
Well, Phil, you're getting all... I'm not saying...
Yeah, you go, I'm not saying he...
Bud, you're stirring everybody up here, and you're just going to get the right hand, I'm telling you.
Why? Because I don't have freedom of speech?
You got freedom of speech. You made your point. My father-in-law beat me at golf. Okay, but I'm just telling you, there's a reason.
You're saying that. My father-in-law beat me at golf.
My father-in-law beat me at golf.
One, two, three, and...
My father-in-law beat me at golf.
My father-in-law beat me at golf.
My father-in-law beat me...
All right. He did. He beat me at golf. Now, the big news here, and this is shocking, this is stunning, this is, if I actually cared about wrestling, I'd really be upset, and it is that wrestling has been dropped from the Olympics!
That really is stunning, and you don't have to be an Olympic fan to understand what significance that has. Wrestling, the Greco-Roman style of wrestling, has been a part of the Olympics since the beginning.
That's absolutely true, Margaret. IOC leaders have dropped wrestling from the Olympic program, a surprise decision that removes one of the oldest Olympic sports from the 2020 games. Now, this will begin in 2020. How many games do we have ahead of us before 2020? I don't know.
Talk about now the year
and not the TV show.
That's exactly right. Hey, nice going, guys.
Don't be sarcastic, man. We're just trying to find out.
The 2020 Olympics, meaning the year 2020, yeah.
How old will you be then?
I'll be old, man. Don't even ask how old I'll be. I'll be old. The IOC Executive Board decided to retain modern pentathlon, the event considered most at risk, and remove wrestling instead from its list of 25 core sports. The modern pentathlon, what the hell is that?
I think that's the one where you run, you throw a spear.
You don't throw a spear.
Yeah, well, yeah, you do.
It's called a javelin, I think.
Yeah, it's called a javelin. You run. Well, I mean, it is a spear.
Yeah, you run, you throw a spear. What are you looking at, Bud?
Nothing.
Hey, Bud, if I hear any racism out of you...
You're looking at me, and every time he says spear, you're looking at me, right?
Well...
Hey! Don't kick his ass.
Oh! Oh, that... Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it right there, yeah. Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! Direct hit.
Hey, Bud, you're going to keep on taking beatings unless you shut your mouth. It ain't a spear.
Well, it might as well be, and I don't mean anything racist about that, Robert. Well, Robert, don't give me that look.
Well, I just don't think you ought to call a spear.
It's a javelin. And by the way, spear doesn't necessarily mean just Africa. Every man on this planet at one time or another threw a spear. White people... Asian people.
When did white people ever throw a spear?
Back when they were throwing spears. That's when they threw spears. That's the first weapon that was developed by the human species, was the first long-range weapon developed by the human species was the spear. That was the weapon that freed us from having to jump on the back of game, animals that we were trying to kill for food, and that we could that we risked our lives killing. That at times, if you jumped on an animal, no matter what the animal, if it was a fairly good-sized animal, and all you had was a dagger or a rock or whatever you used at close range, a lot of times the individual hunter was killed or very seriously injured. Humans developed the spear so we didn't have to get close to these animals, so that we could hit them at a distance. You understand?
I thought it was just like a cave guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cave guys. It was cave guys trying to live longer than 5 weeks. It was cave guys saying, I don't want to go out there and deal with that rhinoceros with a freaking rock. You know?
Well, weren't you saying something about the Neanderthal man was too stupid to figure it out?
I don't think I used the word stupid.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
The Neanderthals were a little, yeah, they didn't get it, man. They're the ones that jumped on the rhino and tried to crack its head open with a rock, and they wound up getting hurt. A lot of the Neanderthal skeletons that they find show evidence of grave injuries, all kinds of broken bones, fractured skulls, all kinds of injuries that early humans don't show. And they theorize that it was the result of Neanderthals hunting at close range and taking these injuries in trying to kill these animals. Humans came along with our bigger brains or something. I don't know what it was. Something bigger.
Must have been on account of we made so many babies.
Boy, are you an idiot, man.
You really are, bud.
You are really an idiot. You sound like an idiot, and you talk like one.
Yeah. What?
You just sound like an idiot. Just be quiet.
Well,
just shut up. Anyway, so the spear, if you want to call it that, the javelin, this is why we have this as an Olympic event, because to the very early people who formed the Olympics, this was a very significant skill to have. This was one of the founding skills of the human species. If you don't know how to throw a spear, a javelin, whatever you want to call it, you barely qualified to be called a human being, because that was something everybody had to learn how to do if they were going to hunt for food. The pentathlon, which is five events, and...
I think it's... you throw... All right, javelin, run, jump,
chuck. You got to chuck something.
Probably chuck something. And then,
what do you mean chuck something? What does that mean?
Well, you have to know how to run, jump, throw the javelin, and then chuck, I don't know, you just chuck something like a rock?
Yeah.
You mean like a shot put?
Well, do you chuck that?
What do you mean, chuck, man? What are you talking about?
You're not gonna kill an animal, you're saying, chuck a rock or something.
No, dude, this is not about killing animals. Let me finish, will you? Okay, the IOC has dropped wrestling from the Olympic program. The IOC executive board decided to retain modern pentathlon, the event considered most at risk, and remove wrestling instead from its list of 25 core sports. The IOC board acted after reviewing the 26 sports on the current Olympic program. Eliminating one sport allows the International Olympic Committee to add a new sport to the program later this year. Oh, goody gumdrops. What will it be? Skateboarding? Jacks? Maybe hopscotch?
Well, Phil, these are viable sports.
No. I understand there's some sports that we really should consider, but I think the tradition, if tradition is not what the Olympics is about, then what the hell is it about? You know?
Well, they ain't going to wear no loincloth.
Yeah, can you imagine they were going to wear a loincloth or go out in a jockstrap, because that's what they used to wear?
No, they didn't wear jockstraps, bud.
Yeah, they did. They wore thongs.
They wore some kind of a lighter athlete's pair of briefs or something. Wrestling, which combines freestyle and Greco-Roman events, goes back to the inaugural modern Olympics in Athens in 1896. This is a process of renewing and renovating the program for the Olympics. IOC spokesman Mark Adams said, in the view of the executive board, this was the best program for the Olympic Games in 2020. It's not a case of what's wrong with wrestling. It's what's right with the 25 core sports. Wrestling was voted out from a final group that also included modern pentathlon, taekwondo, and field hockey.
Not the field hockey.
Yeah, field hockey, I don't know. Why did we get rid of wrestling and we got field hockey?
Field hockey is wonderful. Field hockey is very liberal. It's a sport that's enjoyed by many educated and politically liberal people. Wrestling, hello, is the what was the man, Hogan?
Hulk Hogan?
Yes, Phil. You're talking...
Now, wait a minute. Hulk Hogan, that isn't even the wrestling we're talking about. We're talking about Greco-Roman wrestling, Olympic wrestling, got nothing to do with Hulk Hogan.
Well, I think that most people consider it to be the same thing. And
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back to discuss this. We got Jim Sadler coming on the line, Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego, on wrestling, Olympic wrestling, and the fact that it, as of 2020, will no longer be a part of the Olympic Games. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're going to join Dr. Jim Sadler here in a moment. He's going to be talking with us about wrestling and this sport of wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling, as well as freestyle wrestling, has been eliminated from the Olympics as of the 2020 Olympics. Now, it's making a little bit of a play in the news. You know as well as I do that these sports can be brought back. They can be. You know, they don't have them 1 year.
They bring it back, though.
They can bring it back. They can do anything they want. They can do anything they want. They want to have it 1 year. They don't have it another year. There are these 25 core sports.
Well, what are the core sports?
We're talking about the Summer Olympics. I would imagine they are track and field events, boxing, basketball. These have been a part of the Summer Games for quite some time. You know, the marathon. I mean, these are sports that are events, I should say, in the Olympics that have we think of when we think of the Summer Games. When I think of the Summer Olympics, I think of track and field. I don't know about anybody else. I mean, I don't really care about. I like boxing and I like the basketball, and everything else in my mind is track and field.
What's track and field?
Well, track and field. Track is the track. Field is the field in the middle of the track, which is where you have shot put, you have high jump, you have pole vaulting.
Yeah, you have like long jump too.
Long jump, right? They have something called the triple jump.
Yeah. What about pole vaulting?
They have pole vaulting.
What do they do? Do they pole vault?
What are you, an idiot or something?
Bud, what do you think they do in pole vaulting?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, they pole vault, but I mean, are they well?
You know, this is when I think you're doing this on purpose, you know?
No, it just, do they do it?
Yes, they do it. If they have pole vaulting, yes, they pole vault.
Well, okay.
What is the problem with that?
Maybe I don't understand a sport, but I thought pole vault...
He's talking about sex.
Boy, you are really messed up, man.
No, why am I messed up? You talk about pole vault.
Why would you think of sex?
It was the name of a movie. Remember the movie we saw?
We saw a porn movie.
I wish they wouldn't talk about... Are they watching these porn films while I'm in the studio?
No, they're doing it later on. You saw a porn movie called Pole Vault, and you thought, Bud, that was part of the Olympics.
I don't know.
You don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you're an idiot, and here's what I want you to do. Shut up about stuff you don't know. I saw a porn movie called Pole Vault?
My God.
It was pretty impressive.
All right, yes, so Dr. Jim Sadler joining us now from San Diego, California. And Dr. Sadler is actually at one of the gaming tables there. Are you on the Morongo? Are you at Morongo, the Morongo Casino?
I am, Phil, and just got here maybe about 20 minutes ago.
All right, I'm sorry to bother you here in the middle of your evening.
No, it's no bother at all.
I wanted to ask you, Dr. Sadler, about Olympic wrestling. I know that you were a wrestling coach and you did participate... Not at the Olympic level, but you did participate in college, and you are now a weightlifter, correct?
I do some free weights. I enjoy doing free weights. I also enjoy. I do a variety of conditioning. Some floor exercise, gymnastic style floor exercise for strengthening. Wrestling though is something I haven't done. in a long time, and not since my college days, but I did certainly see the announcement today in the news, and I'm very grateful, Phil, that you would... where are my chips? Where are my chips? Where are my chips? I'm sorry, Phil.
Okay, this is what happens when we have people...
Hold on. Where are my chips, though? Yeah, well, you watch him, and I'll watch you. You watch him, I'll watch you. No, you watch him.
Hey, Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, Phil.
Do you want us to call you later so that when you can finish your game of dice, and then we can talk about maybe a little more leisure?
I'll tell you what I'll do. Let me just one more. I stink. Okay, give me my money. I want to get out of here. This whole game stinks. I want out of here. Give me my money. No, we can talk now, Phil. I'm done. But what I was going to say to you, and I think it bears some mentioning, the Olympics, as you said so very, very well, Phil, in your opening statement, is a traditional, it's a celebration of tradition. And the, here you go, honey, thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks for nothing. You know, I'm not with my wife tonight, and I'm not being unfaithful to my wife, but I had... if you ever saw in the movie Casino where they had the one, she was a prostitute, which this is not what that was, but, and he gave her some money after she was good luck to him. I gave some money to this one, and she sure wasn't no good luck to me.
Well, who was she?
Well, she's some, I imagine she's a prostitute. I'm not going to, you know, purchase her services, but I said, well, you know. In any event, Phil, and my feeling is that the Olympics, it just isn't the Olympics unless you do have in my opinion, unless you do have wrestling. And so I believe that's a great disservice.
Tell me about the wrestling that, and why would they, is the wrestling that's done in the Olympics freestyle Greco-Roman, is it that antiquated? Is it that unpopular?
I don't think so. If you know anything about wrestling, as I do, and as those of us who've been devotees of wrestling, you know that it takes a great deal of strength. It takes a great deal of skill. You have to be able to develop your thigh muscles, your chest, your arms, your neck, your triceps, your biceps. Just frankly, Phil, every single area of the body that can be used, I believe that one of the reasons why wrestling has been eliminated from the Olympics is because it makes a lot of people look bad, and gets back to what your other guest was saying. You know, people look bad, and rather than come up with some rule that will make a bad wrestler look better, they've just decided, let's get rid of it, because it's very rare people that know how to wrestle and wrestle good.
It makes people look bad.
Absolutely, yes.
So, yes, this does sound an awful lot like what Coach Jeffries was saying when he said that they needed something that would keep people interested, but apparently they don't care when it comes to wrestling.
No, they don't. There's a prejudice against wrestling because those of us that did it well do tend to dominate the very, very few people that are able to, in my opinion, that are able to come into the sport and do well.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I want to get on the line here. A caller from Alhambra. This is Lloyd Bonafide. We've had Lloyd on our program before. Lloyd, how you doing?
Yes, sir, I'm doing very good, and I wanted to ask the gentleman you have on your program a question.
Yes, sir.
You say that that wrestling is no longer in the Olympics because it makes people look bad. Isn't that what you just said?
I think, yes, sir. I don't think it makes everyone look bad per se, but I think it takes a great deal of, a lot to be a good wrestler, and I think the average person can't even begin to imagine what it takes.
Isn't it true, sir, that they got rid of wrestling, not because it makes people look bad, but because the wrestlers themselves look very suspect in some of the moves that they, and in some of the things they do?
No, sir, I don't think so. I don't think so. I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going.
Yes, I most certainly do know where you're going. And I don't think so at all.
You don't think that when a man has another man's head, and...
All right, hold on for a minute. We have to take a break.
What's that?
We have to take a break.
Say that again.
We've got to take a break. We have to take a break.
He said he's got to take a break. I can't hear the one with the lisp. You speak. Who's that?
I guess that's you.
The one with the lisp. Yes, what did you say? He's taking a break. I don't understand either one of you fairies, but I...
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Boy, the guts on that guy, huh?
Phil Hendry.
You're taking a break.
Hold on, hold up. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Now, Mr. Bonafide, you had a question regarding, you're watching our video feed tonight?
Yes, sir. I've got my daughter-in-law's, my son-in-law's iPhone, is that it? Yeah, and I don't hear me. Now, I know there's a delay. I know that much.
Well, what on our iOS stream, there's about a minute and a half delay.
A minute and a half, he said. He said a minute and a half. I'm relaying this to my son-in-law. A minute and a half. The stream, the iOS stream, he says, is a minute and a half. Are you an idiot or something, Phil? My daughter married this guy, and it's a secret, Phil. I swear to God, it's a... It is a secret that died with the pharaohs as to why my daughter buried this guy.
All right, enough of that. Let's talk with Jim Sadler. And Lloyd, your question was the following. You feel that the wrestling has been eliminated from the Olympics because of the... Not because it makes the rest of us look bad, as in weak and unskilled. You're saying it makes the wrestlers themselves look bad.
Yes, sir. I think it goes without saying, and I think that Dr. Sadler, your guest here tonight, would agree with me that the wrestling moves, the freestyle, the Greco-Roman, and all of the different styles that they did in the Roman Forum, the vomitoriums, in the different areas, the pleasure palaces, in the pagan temples, and much of the pagan wrestling that was done in the temples, all of this wrestling, and let's not forget...
Okay, all right, so with the wrestling, we don't have to get into the very earliest phases of Roman wrestling, you know.
Well,
wait a minute, who was that?
Oh, it was me. I put my phone down for a minute.
Yeah, sounded weird.
That was me. I was going to ask him. No, it wasn't me. It was you.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah, it was. What I want to say, Phil, is the Roman wrestling that Lloyd Bonafide is referring to is the early pagan Roman wrestling, where, yes, there was every single kind of move was allowed to allow for the defeat of your opponent. The claw was very, very...
Okay, right there, the claw. The claw allows you to slip your thumb into the guy's you-know-what, and like a bowling ball, and...
What is this?
It's the claw. I knew he'd bring it up. It's a move that I am not in favor of, but apparently the rules of wrestling allow you to use your thumb to get a bowling ball grip on a guy.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Who wants to go and watch some kind of weird, weird sport like that? I would not. I used to enjoy wrestling when Bobo Brazil was involved. And Bobo Brazil is not a wrestler. Bobo Brazil. You tell Bobo Brazil he wasn't a wrestler. You go right ahead. Bobo Brazil.
Bobo Brazil was one of those exhibition style wrestlers. He was a Hulk Hogan type, right?
Well, I don't know what you mean by an exhibition style. The only exhibition is a guy, I would say, a guy slipping his thumb into a guy's, up the guy's, giggy.
Mr. Henry, this is going to be a discussion of these childish moves.
This is not a childish move. Your sport, wrestling, allows it.
All right, let me cut through all the bullcrap. You're saying that there are moves. I remember when they were talking about that particular move, the thumb, and you know, and I think somebody said, "Well, you know, it is. It's an actual move, and it's an actual. It's a good move. It's good strategy." I don't know. Do you suppose it's possible, Dr. Sadler, that wrestling has been eliminated from the 2020 Olympics because increasingly there are moves in wrestling that are considered to be, tasteless?
How can you have a tasteless move in wrestling when the whole idea is to defeat your opponent? All right? Because there is a very real chance that you're going to be... While there are a great many good wrestlers, and I have no doubt, Dr. Sadler, that you were one, because I want to believe that about you. I understand that you live with a woman. Is that correct, sir? You know something? I don't think I want to answer that. Right, then you, okay, then that, well, that answers that question. No, it doesn't answer that question. Well, yes, it does. If you refuse to answer my question, do you live with a woman?
Don't answer that. Don't ask it and don't answer it. I'll tell you. Yes, he does. He's married.
Well, then why can't he answer that for himself?
Because I don't feel the need to answer your question about whether or not I live with a woman.
About the what?
About if I live with a woman.
About if he lives with a woman.
Yes, he doesn't want to answer my question because he's too busy practicing his thumb up the...
Yeah, if you want to think what you want to think, then you're going to think... What you're going to think.
Well, there's some brain surgery. If I want to think what I want to think...
Gentlemen, you're getting far afield of what the point is here. Is wrestling being eliminated from the Olympics because there are some tasteless moves involved? What do you think, Dr. Sadler?
I believe, Phil, that if you want to say to me, a wrestler, a competitive wrestler, an individual who I would love the opportunity to win a gold medal in the sport the sport of Olympic wrestling. I would love the opportunity to do that. And if it meant that I had to do moves, if I got to do what I got to do.
Let me ask you something, sir. I saw this at an Olympic exhibition of wrestling. He locked the guy's head between his thighs so that the guy was facing this guy's whole, his entire unit, his whole unit. And the guy's face was locked in the between the thighs. Now, do you think that's necessary?
I don't know. I wasn't watching the match. What was necessary? I imagine there are moves where you're going to lock it. If you do a headlock, if you use a thigh lock, if you're going to use it with the sack view, is what we call it.
A thigh lock with a sack view. What does that mean?
Well, three guesses.
You know exactly what it means. And that's what I mean, Mr. Henry, and I think people are sick of it. They're sick and tired of going to a wrestling match and seeing a guy's head get locked between two thighs, and when you say a sack view, you better believe it. A sack lunch, too.
That's unnecessary. I have seen...
Hold on. Obviously, what you're talking about...
I've seen this with my own eyes.
That you have, okay? And whose thighs were around your head?
Why, you lousy, dirty little fairy.
If I... There you go. Right there, Mr. Henry. Right there. I give you this man's prejudice.
I won't have that kind of language, Mr. Bonafide. I won't have any kind of name-calling like that.
Well, you heard what he said. He said, whose thighs were around my head? Didn't you say that?
I did, because you were taking great exception to, and you were making noises that the thigh lock with a sack lunch and a sack, not a sack lunch, it's called the thigh lock with the, God, I hate you so much.
Well, because of the fact that I pinned it, I called it. I said it was a thigh lock with a sack lunch, not a sack view.
All right, I'm going to let you go.
Let me go? What is that? What am I? What is this, Gogi Davis, let me go lover?
What?
I don't know.
Where is Dr. Sadler? Dr. Sadler, you there?
I'm barely here, yes. And I will tell you something. I've talked to a lot of weird, weird people. The guy that you just had me talking to, Mr. Henry, was a weirdo, I can assure you.
All right, look. Is it possible, and no one's been giving you the chance to answer this, is it possible that some of these moves, some of the wrestling moves that we know of, or just the way the sport looks, I don't know, people are getting uncomfortable with?
To answer your question, no, I do not. I think you'd have to be some kind of a child and not a sports fan at all, not an individual familiar with any kind of a sports package. You would have to be, in my opinion, very much afraid of the balls, not the ball. You'd have to be someone that's very much afraid of the overwhelming, I think, ignorant majority who think that wrestling is nothing more than your thumb up a guy. No, but then wrestling's nothing more than somebody's moves. Wrestling is much, much more, Phil. Wrestling is being able to have your nose right up in a guy. It's being able to have your nose right into the competition, the nose to the grindstone. It's being able to put your finger up.
You know, you're having a real hard time staying focused here.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You're all about putting a finger in everything.
No, I'm not. Who is that?
My name's Bud Dickman.
Okay, and what did you say?
You're Mr. Henry's right. You're talking about the finger.
I didn't say anything about it. I said wrestling is about competition. It's about a variety of different moves. It's about a variety of areas that your nose...
See, I mean, it doesn't matter what we talk about. It doesn't matter how we try to talk about it. You're always with some, the nose is someplace, or the head is someplace, or a finger is somewhere.
I think, Mr. Henry, what I've been subjected to over here over the last few minutes on your program with that gentleman, Mr. Bonafide, it has been extremely, in my opinion, it's been difficult because that guy... He reminds me, it's almost as if I've got my head between two cheeks. It's almost as if...
Yeah?
Yeah, you're just making it worse just by staying on the phone.
It's almost as if I've got my head in a vice, is what I want to say. And the vice is the guy's thighs and the ball gag. You know what?
You know, you're
I'm not anything. Your show is the most prejudiced program, Mr. Henry, that I've been on in quite some time. And I think that before I come back on a program like yours, I need to be sure that the environment is a safe one and is a open-minded one and is not tight-cheeked and it's...
Okay, Dr. Sadler.
No, hold on. Yeah, it's not.
Now, I gotta take a break. And I didn't mean to make him sound bad there.
Well, you cut him off, Phil, and yes, you did make him sound bad.
No. I didn't make him sound bad. That man was stumbling over every kind of image, inappropriate image that he could think of. His head between the thighs and the ball, the sack and the this and the finger. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
No,
truth
you
is our bitch.
Very, very
the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back. Here it is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Tonight has been a great night for our live video streaming because if you guys have been hanging with us, even those of you who do not have a BSP and don't know about the fact that we videocast our show, you know we've had all kinds of stops and starts with our iOS stream. That is the operating systems that Apple uses, iPad and iPhone. Tonight, however, we have had a spotless, beautiful night. Now, we're coming up on the midnight hour West Coast, 3 a.m. East Coast, the roughly 3-hour, 45-minute mark. It was at this particular time that last week we lost our feed. I don't think it's going to happen this time out. We have been working closely with our buddies at Bright Cove. The point that I'm trying to make is we are fully mobile now, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're mobile on iPhones and mobile on iPads. And, of course, we're on your desktop, and we're on most any of the operating systems. I think there may be some question as to droids. I'll have to look into that. The last time I heard was that we were on droids.
Yeah, they were talking about how it doesn't make any difference. All devices.
Well, it turns out that that ain't necessarily the case, or maybe it is. But nonetheless, if you've got an iPhone tonight and you have a BSP, we are mobile. Take us with you wherever. And don't forget that even if you're not listening or watching live, you can always watch or listen the following day via our podcast or our video cast on demand. So while you're having breakfast, not that seeing my mug at breakfast time is necessarily the most conducive to a healthy appetite, nonetheless, you do have that option. All right. So what about that, huh? No wrestling in the Olympics. We just heard from Dr. Jim Sadler. We heard from Lloyd Bonafide. And now we'd like to hear from you at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What do you think about the fact that there is no wrestling in the Olympics and as of 2020? And do you think that that's something that should last? Do you think it's a good decision? Do you think it's a bad decision? Let's go to Karen. Hi, Karen. Karen in Baltimore. How you doing?
I'm doing so great. I'm glad I'm on the air with you. You know, this is Karen Dozell, Phil.
Karen, I recognized your voice right away.
We are having so much fun. When Jerry was here, he was laughing. Oh, my God, we were laughing so much. We love Dr. Jim Sadler. We love Lloyd Bonafide. Herb loves Herb, what'd you say about Lloyd Bonafide? Honey, Herb. Hold on, Phil. Herb, what'd you say?
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best, and Jerry?
Yeah. All right, Phil.
Jerry wants to say something, honey.
Okay, Jerry, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, let me tell you something. That was wonderful listening to the two gentlemen. But do you know, I wrestled in Greco-Roman wrestling in high school. I was one of... Greco-Roman wrestling is very specific. It is a very, very specific kind of wrestling. Greco-Roman wrestling necessitates a certain kind of leotard. It necessitates certain moves. You are not allowed in Greco-Roman wrestling to insert your finger or your thumb into a man's any opening in a man. That's standard in the rule. If you're wearing the Greco-Roman leotard, there is no way in hell that you're able to get a thumb or finger or ring finger into the opening of a man. And I think that was a disservice you did. But I'm not blaming you, Phil. Now, understand.
Don't blame Phil.
I'm not blaming you, Phil. But I'm blaming the man who you had on. Yeah, that's just me doing.
Oh, Phil, you know that we're having such a great time? And that's Gary. He's fooling around. And he started doing that. Do that again.
I'm not blaming who you had on.
Do you like that, Phil?
Yeah, that's... So, is he done?
Are you done?
No. Just one more thing, Phil. Have you thought about coming out with a caramel corn, like the Phil Hendry caramel corn?
That's a wonderful idea.
We think that is a great idea, Phil, if you come out with a Phil Hendry caramel corn. Because we know, dear, that you like caramel corn, don't you?
Yes, I do. I love Cracker Jacks.
Oh, I make it, too.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to say. My sister-in-law makes it. You know, Karen makes it. And she makes it, and we can put it into a tin or a bag or how what have you, but she makes it, and
then we could call it Phil's caramel corn.
You could call it Phil Henry's caramel corn, and I'll tell you something. I'd buy it. I'd buy it right now. I'd buy some.
I think it's a great idea, Phil. But you know something, dear. We didn't mean to interrupt your program. You're just doing such a great job. I love you so much. You have brought us so much joy. You really have.
Phil, one more. I just want to say one more. Phil, one more thing, okay?
Yeah.
Have you thought about having a beer named after you? Have you thought about that?
No, I've thought about a tequila.
You thought about a tequila? That's a great idea. But everybody's, I think Bubba Love Sponge has a tequila now. I think Bubba Love Sponge has a tequila, doesn't he, Karen?
I think Bubba has a tequila or he doesn't. I don't know. Herb, do you know about that?
Yeah. Bubba the Love Sponge doesn't have a tequila. He's got a beer, though.
Who has the tequila?
Somebody's got a tequila. I think the Phil Hendry brand of tequila would be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. You know?
Phil, we're going to let you go, dear. You are the best.
Well, what? Do you guys have an opinion on wrestling?
Well, Jerry's
said pretty much. I don't know anything about it. It looks pretty weird to me.
Yeah, I don't have any opinion, Phil. Give me that, Jerry. Well, don't say a lot of dirty things. No. Hey, Phil, this is Herb Deauville. I don't have an opinion about wrestling. The only opinion that I do have is I'm not going to spend my hard-earned money to go see those idiots like the ones you see on television. I'm not spending my hard-earned money on that.
Well, that's exhibition. That's an exhibition of wrestling, as they call it.
Well, I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is. That's what they do.
Hold on, Jerry. I've got the phone.
Jerry, come on.
Now, I don't think it is, because wrestling is, as you said, and I know, Jerry, you understand, it's the Greco-Roman style, and I don't know anything about putting your thumb in a man's behind. I...
Well, that is ridiculous. Get out.
Please get off the extension, Karen. Everybody wants to talk to you in this house, Phil.
Okay, well, look, you know what? I agree with you. There should be some rules changed so we don't have these silly and uncomfortable moments in wrestling. But nonetheless, I don't think they should eliminate it from the Olympics. Thank you very, very much, Herb and...
Phil and...
Got to go. Herb and Karen and Jerry Deauville, caramel corn and a tequila. These are the promotional ideas that they have for Phil Hendry. We'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, they didn't hang up on me. I was calling on my own separate cell phone line. Now, do you know that William McKinley's life could have been saved had...
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, everywhere, even places other talk shows, well, wish they could, but they can't. We're here tonight with you, and we're certainly online as well at philhendryshow.com. You know how to use the old internet. It's no big thing. Just go over there and go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show right now. Which is on the old video cast. We do Phil TV. It's an HD picture, high definition picture, and I think you're going to love it. And like that. And we've got thousands of hours of archived radio shows. Have a podcast of our daily radio show that you can listen to tomorrow. We also have the first hour of the show free. It streams free the next day, every day as well. And coming up, we will have another. We're starting another podcast in a couple weeks that we will tell you more about. Okay. Robert Greene is with us tonight, and I think, Bob, you're probably not working. I think you are having a late dinner.
As a matter of fact, I am, Phil. We are right now. We're in Newport Beach. This used to be a place called, I don't know if you remember, there was a bar in Newport Beach called Hoagie Bar Michaels. Did you ever hear that?
I think I heard it was a dance place.
It was, and a friend of mine bought it, and it's turned into a steakhouse. It's very good.
What's the name of it?
It's called Rancho's. Rancho's, and it's on Pacific Coast Highway. So we're having a little bit of dinner here tonight.
And you had about 2-3 weeks in the Middle East.
That is correct.
And then you got up into Europe.
We were in Egypt. We visited Israel. We visited Egypt. We were in Morocco. We were in Saudi Arabia very briefly because I have a former business partner of mine is working there now. And then we were in Spain, and we were in Italy, and we wound up in France, in Paris, and then we came home yesterday.
Boy, that's a trip, huh?
It was. We packed a lot in there, but I can tell you that we learned a lot. I was grateful for the experience because I think I think it's an old saying, but it's very true. The old thing they used to say that travel will broaden you, and it does. It teaches you.
Well, you see how the rest of the world's doing, you know?
If nothing else, you're looking at how other people live. For me, and maybe it's true of a lot of people, I gain a new appreciation for my own country, United States, America. And it's great to come home, but we saw a lot of interesting things. We've met a lot of nice people, really friendly people. And
how'd you like Paris?
I like Paris a lot. I know you came back with mixed feelings.
Yeah, it's the kind of a city that's going to give you mixed feelings, you know. But you got along well, huh?
I do, and I got along pretty well. It's probably because Barbara, the lady that I'm seeing, speaks a little bit of French, and that.
Well, that's going to help over there, yeah.
Yeah, we got around, I should say, a little bit easier maybe than the average person. But Egypt was fascinating, and. I had an argument with Barbara about this, and in fact, it was more than just an argument. We had a serious disagreement, but I felt very strongly, and had even talked to my aunt, who is very, you know, my aunt Evelyn, who's in her 80s, and I asked her what she thought of it because. I guess I need to tell you what it is, right?
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's the law in Egypt. It was on the front page of the paper.
All right, okay, this is a law, and let me tell people, I see what you're talking about, Bob. This is a law that is being opposed by women's groups.
That is correct, yes.
It is a draft Egyptian law. Now, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, that would allow a husband to have sex with the corpse of his wife up to 6 hours after her death, and this is a law that they're considering.
They are, absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with what they call, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but is it Sharia law?
Well, that's what you're talking about, the Muslim, strict Islamic law.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that is the case here, although it has, it's obviously an extremely sexist, and that's putting it mildly, law.
Well, here is, you know, here's a viewpoint on this. This is obviously, it's a, from our standards, it's barbaric. I know, Phil, that I am like a lot of people. I have a tendency to say what I'm thinking before I think about it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I see something like this, and I want to just tell people how barbaric they are. But I do believe you've got to put yourself in people's shoes. You know, there's got to be a reason, and I look at my own life, and I look at, you know, the relationship I have now with Barbara, which is a good one. I was married twice. I've got a couple of kids, and, you know, obviously I have had a difficult time with the female of the species.
Probably no more than most of us.
Well, I hope so, you know. Women, to get along with women, I think you need to give them their life. I think it's the one thing our fathers probably didn't understand, or other generations have been. You have to give a woman her life. You have to give a woman her place in this world. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it does go against, in a lot of ways, the instinct of a man to want to sort of plant his feet on the earth, put his hands on his hips, and say, this belongs to me.
There's a social there's a social history to men and a social history to women that we're having to rewrite those roles a little bit. Men are always going to be men because we know now that this is a biochemical and a
physiognomy of the brain is different.
Yes, exactly.
And so I look at this law that they want to pass in Egypt that allows you to have sex with the corpse of your wife for 6 hours. And I asked myself, what could people be thinking? In our society, that is considered sick. In our society, but in Egypt, they're considering that. I know the National Organization of Women is opposing it, but those are women that they're either American or they've traveled to America or they're European. They're not Egyptian women. Egyptian women.
There's some Egyptian women involved in this.
Well, like I say, maybe they traveled to Europe or they've been hanging around American women, and that's always going to be, for some societies, a problem. Because the minute you let your woman get around an American woman, you're going to have, in the mind of the people, the men that run that country, you're going to have a problem.
The minute you let your woman, so the American women are crap disturbers.
Well, yeah, if you let an Egyptian, if you get one of these Egyptian women that is she's not... You know, she where do they come from? They're off a farm or whatever is a farm there, and they talk to an American woman, and now all of a sudden she's, you know, she knows it all too. Now,
well, I mean, that the point, we're talking about a law here that allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours after her death. And you have to ask yourself the question, if we want to be kind and not just say these are a bunch of backward men, what do you say?
Well, I think what you say is that these are men who are reacting to the increasingly powerful role of women, and they're trying to take 6 hours... where they're not going to get, I guess if you want to be honest, it's 6 hours that a man can be with his wife and still be, you know, a man.
I don't understand that.
Well, in other words, she's not going to be there telling you what to do and telling you where to put the money and telling you how to spend the money and telling you what to do with the kids. And you see what I'm saying? And the things that gradually... sort of shrink a man down to size. Now, with this law that says, you know, you're allowed to have sex with the body of your dead wife for 6 hours up after she dies, correct?
Yeah.
You can at least have 6 hours where you're able to, you know, I'm trying to say this so it doesn't sound bad.
Well, I mean, it's going to sound bad no matter what. You know?
No, I understand that.
I mean, it, you know, no matter what you say, sex with a corpse...
I understand that, but what I'm asking you to do is not to put it that way, because we're trying to see it from the standpoint of the Egyptians, where for 6 precious hours, a man can say to the woman, you know, just, here, you know, I got something for you to take, I want you to take it, you know, I don't know how to put it.
Well, it sounds... I don't know if that's the best way.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I got something for you to take.
I'm saying it's 6 hours where a man doesn't have to listen to her finding fault. And to that end, you almost understand it. Having sex with a corpse? No, of course not. I don't understand it. But if, I don't know, if this gives the men of Egypt 6 hours where they can have something that American men don't have.
Well, you're talking about, I mean, you know, you're. I don't know that it is so bad, women, you know, expressing themselves, that a man needs to be able to have sex with her corpse just so he's not having...
I don't know what's funny about it. See, what I'm saying is we've got a generation of men who have been emasculated and need to be able to find a way to express their power as men with their women and not have the woman pointing out everything that's wrong.
So you have sex with her corpse?
No, I didn't say that. I said that's what they're doing in Egypt. And from the standpoint of, oh, I understand why they're doing it, you do. You understand.
Okay, we'll take a break with Robert Green from Fraser Foods, just back from an overseas trip he took with his lady friend. And one of the stops was in Egypt, where they are debating a law, if you're ready for this, they're debating a law where it would be legal for a man to have sex with his wife's corpse for up to 6 hours after her death. Bob Green and I are talking about that, and it is his opinion that it is a perverted attempt at giving men a little bit of power that they ordinarily wouldn't have in their marriage, because she's dead. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That was my point, essentially, but I would also...
World-famous Phil
Hendry. Well, hold on. We'll talk about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green is joining us. this evening. Bob is the CEO of Fraser Foods and has been a frequent contributor on our show. Well, we talk about business. We talk about employment issues. But having just returned from a trip to the Middle East, among other places, we were talking about this law that is being currently debated in Egypt that would make it legal for a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife up to 6 hours after her death.
And I think what you just said, Phil, is, you know, I think what you said there is during the break, I mean.
Let me tell people what I said.
I think it was a little bit racist.
Let me tell people what I said. I said that the Moors, the Moorish people, that is the medieval Muslim people, when they were defeated by the, if you will, European Christians, and forced back over the Pyrenees and back into Spain and eventually back to North Africa, I think it there was something about that experience that warped them or pissed them off or something.
Yeah, see, that's what I find racist.
Why? Hold on for a minute. Don't answer this. Why would you find that racist, you know, if I'm talking about a culture that seriously considers allowing a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for 6 hours?
I don't think that the law, it hasn't been passed yet.
No, I understand that, but they're debating it.
Well, what is to stop, as crazy as it sounds, what's to stop someone introducing a law like that in the United States?
No one, the point is no one has, Bob. That's the point. The point is that...
You realize that we have just now made necrophilia illegal in some states. It was not even illegal in the state of Florida until 1994.
Well, it's not something that you're automatically going to be thinking about if it isn't a problem. You know, I mean, you're not going to go, hey, by the way, let's pass a law against having sex with a dead person because it might happen. You generally prescribe something when it has happened and you don't want it to happen anymore.
Well, I think that there is a bit of a chauvinistic point of view there from you. When you say, well, what's wrong with the society? I mean, something messed up their minds because the Christians beat them. I think that there's a little bit of a, racist.
I don't see the racism there at all. I mean, you can call me, if you want, a chauvinist. All right, you can call me a maybe even a bigot.
You know what I'm saying.
No, when you say racist, you're talking about a whole other thing.
What I'm saying is it's racist against their lawmaking and that kind of thing.
Well, there's no such thing as racist against their law. Let's just put it that you're saying that I'm sort of down on their culture?
Yeah, well, I think you're looking down on the Egyptians. And let's remember something, that they created the pyramids, they created the Sphinx, they had one of the most ancient civilizations.
I'm not denying any of that.
All right, and if they're considering a law that allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for 6 hours... there's a different way of looking at it. There's the way that you're looking at it, and then there's the way that I'm looking at it, which is the following thing. What is it about that may be progressive?
What is it about having sex with the corpse of your wife that's progressive?
What is there something there?
No, you use the word progressive?
Wait, hold on. Is there something there that we're missing? Is there something there? And when I thought about it and I talked over with Barbara, we had a big fight.
I can understand.
Well, what do you mean you can understand? She was not right. She was wrong. I proved to her that I was right by the fact that she walked out of the house. Because what happened was this. When we got into this argument, we got into the argument on the plane coming back, because I started talking about it almost as soon as we left Cairo. I said, what if this allows a man the freedom to be a man for 6 precious hours out of his life? And she went into the whole song and dance about how could you, and that's disgusting. And I said, you still haven't answered the question. And I even challenged her to an experiment. I said, is it really going to hurt you if you and I had sex, if you would just lay there like, well, you know.
You're not going to say what I think you're going to say.
Well, you've just made it worse by saying, you're not just going to say what I think. I didn't say anything, did I?
You said, would it make it... did you ask her to lay there like a corpse while you made love to her?
I said to her, in order to prove your point or my point, why don't you lay there like you're dead And I'll show you what I mean when I say men can just express themselves. Okay? And she was even willing to do that.
She was?
Yeah. And I said, you're going to lay there like you're dead? And she said, yes. So I said, well, you have to, the body temperature has to be lowered. So I brought ice in. And that's when she got angry and got up and left. And called me all kinds of names. So,
well, look, what you just described to me sounds like it was completely, like, unnecessary and sort of weird.
What is that? You know, when you talk like you're a teenage girl, I lose you, Phil. And
how did I talk like a teenage girl?
It's sort of weird. You know, that's the way my daughter used to roll her eyes and she. Boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing that used to get me more than when my daughter would roll her eyes and go. She'd make that clicking sound with her tongue and then do the curled lip routine. You know what I mean by that, don't you?
No, I don't.
You've never seen the curled lip routine. But my daughter would go, and then, like that. Man, nothing made me want to ball up a fist and just drive it right through her face. I didn't do it. And
you know, Bob, can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever said to you that you may have, like, female issues?
No, Phil. It's not going to be that easy tonight for you, okay?
No, I'm asking because you talk about your daughter balling up a fist and wanting to drive it right through her skull. You're talking about your girlfriend, laying there like she's dead. You wanted to cool her skin temperature down.
Don't even start with any kind of talk like, because you watch that Investigation Discovery. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that that's what, are you going to say some freak? I said to her, in order to test the Egyptian theory, is that the music again? Because I swear to God.
Hold on, man. God. Robert Greene, the law being proposed in Egypt is you can make love, you can have sex with, make love, you can have sex with the corpse of your wife up for 6 hours after she died. Mr. Greene is trying to figure out, well, what about that is a good idea? He tried to get his girlfriend to lay there as if she were dead. It wasn't good enough. He tried to cool her body temperature down with ice, and she got up and left. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Thank you very much for leaving the audience with that.
Bill Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods and the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's just returned from a nice vacation, Bob. It sounds like you went a lot of places and did a lot of things. I'm sorry you came back. A little argument there with your girlfriend. But we are talking about this Egyptian law that's being debated. It hasn't been passed yet, and it's getting quite a bit of. To be fair, Egyptian society is a bit mortified by it.
Phil, you say Egyptian society. There's a lot of people that are in support of it. Yes, there are women's groups that are against it, but most of those women's groups are, as I said, heavily influenced by American or European women. And it's fascinating what happens to a country when an American or a European woman inserts herself into the debate. And I'm not saying that's bad, but I would like to see the Egyptian people, I would like to see them work this out among themselves without influence or interference from other culture or other societies, because it is very weird.
With this law where you have sex with your wife, what is the justification for this in Egyptian society? I know what your take is.
I think it is rooted in some Islamic law or Islamic belief that there is something acceptable about this sort of carnal relation with your wife, who may be physically dead, but in spirit may still be. There is something about expressing your affection.
But in your scenario, your belief is it may be healthy because it allows a man to be a man.
It allows a man to be a man without having to... I'm putting it in very Western terms, so you have to be very, you know, please forgive me. It allows a man to be a man without having to listen... without having to listen to it. You know what I mean by it. The noise, the constant... I heard the gentleman you had on before me, Mr. Dozier, he used the term ba-ba, ba-ba, you know, with the, I'm sure he was moving his hands up and down like a mouth. Mr. Henry, was he doing that?
I don't know. I was on the phone. I don't know.
All right, we don't have to get upset.
I'm not upset. I don't know if he was going ba-ba-ba with the hands. But I know what you're saying, and he might have been.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And so this is your justification. This is—it's almost as if the Egyptian version is more—it's civilized.
What does that mean? Wow, wow! I'm a white man. And
what has that got to do with anything? You're white.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say is I'm an American. I'm an American. I didn't mean to say I'm white. And
okay, well, Bob, the more you talk, you called me racist.
No, I said your attitude was racist, saying. That the Moors got upset because the Christians beat them and they had to go back to their sandbox or something.
I never used the term sandbox. I just said that... I'm telling you, man.
Well, see, you're laughing. You know?
I just the way that you put stuff. I mean, I never said sandbox. I said that the Moors somehow, the defeat... by the defeat at the hands of the French king there at Tours, where I think I've got my history right, maybe I don't, turning back the Moorish army, I think was a historic in that it has reverberated for hundreds of years. And
the defeat of the Caliphate, the Ottoman Turkish Empire, probably has more to do with it. Don't you think?
No, well, no. I mean, maybe in the mind of Osama bin Laden, but he's not around anymore. All right, let me get to a phone call here. We're talking to Robert Green from Fraser Foods on this law that says Egyptian men, it's not been passed yet, Egyptian men could have sex with their wives for up to 6 hours after their wife dies. And Bob thinks that that's, it might be good in that it allows a man not to have to listen to a woman talk.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you mean.
All right.
What else do you mean by bad, 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 bad with the mouth? Margaret, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Margaret, how's it going?
Bill, I am listening to your guest here, Mr. Green, who I've heard on the program before. Bob, how are you?
I'm fine.
You know, I find how crude, how vulgar, how absolutely unacceptable... how vile you are. I find it almost admirable. I really do.
Well, I don't know what to say to that.
Well, here's what you can say to that. You can say, thank you, Mrs. Gray, for at least pointing out how magnificent a freak I am. If you remember, well, ma'am, I'm not going to take an insult like that. You know, do you remember the old Saturday Night Live when Dan Aykroyd used to say to Jane Curtin, Phil, do you remember, Jane, you magnificent slut?
I do remember that, yeah.
I remember. All right. That's the kind of compliment. I'm saying, Bob, you magnificent ass, you magnificent cretin, that you would say the things you've said, ma'am, I am telling you that I just returned from Egypt. Well, that's good for you. You've returned from Egypt. I was in Egypt, thank you very much.
Well, no, Margaret, you weren't in Egypt. You were, I believe, at a hotel in Rome. Isn't that true?
I was covering the Egyptian riots, Phil. All right.
Where, from a hotel in Rome?
No, I was in Egypt. I had my laptop. You know, this is way off the point.
Well, you claim to have been in Egypt, and I'm just saying that you weren't really...
You know, I think I remember listening to your reports. You're the woman that does these reports from all these war zones, only you're actually having breakfast at a Ritz-Carlton in Rome, right? You know, both of you men, really...
Please don't include me in this. I've tried to be respectful.
No, but I do include you, Phil. I blame you for having this man on to have sex with a dead body.
Margaret, you were on my show not too long ago.
No. Don't tell me. If you're going to bring up Salt Lake City, and, well, ma'am, I don't know what, I think I remember the show where you were talking about your Greek boyfriend. That was a Greek boyfriend who, you know, this is really none of your business, okay? Yeah, but it was very weird. And, no, it was love. It's called love. And
you said that it was very exciting, a man making love to you while he was eating a sandwich. Didn't you say that?
You know, Phil, there was only one Mike Wallace, and you ain't it. Well, ma'am, I did hear you say that. Did you say the man made love to you, and it was only at the last moment you noticed that it was cucumber sauce? Where do you get your, you know what's big enough? First of all, Mr. Green, I've seen you. You're all 5'6" or whatever. That's true, ma'am, but did you not say that at first you thought it was cucumber sauce?
You did say that, Margaret. You said that you were happy that you weren't going to be pregnant.
Both of you, Ben, are as disgusting. You know, let me get my husband. Oh, here we go. She's getting her husband now, huh?
Well, you know what, Bob? Maybe we ought to just back off of this line of questioning.
Frank Ray here.
Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
Hey, young man, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Frank?
Phil, I'm better than Custer.
I've got Bob Green here. And Margaret got upset with us because we were talking about Egyptians, the Egyptian law that may make it legal for a man to have sex with his dead wife.
Oh, I heard about that. So in Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. So she can have sex with him for 6 hours. Yeah, I heard about that.
What do you mean about him or her?
Okay, he has gender confusion.
Gender confusion? What have you got me into here, Henry? I have told you, and I've told...
All right, hold on for a minute, will you? Go ahead, Frank.
Well, that's all I know about it. I know that after the woman, the wife dies, then the husband can have sex with him for 6 hours. And I think it has something to do with the religion that they practice. Some bula bula, hooba booba, you know.
Boy, I'll tell you, boy, how you guys get away with that kind of stuff is anybody's guess.
Away with what?
Booba, booba, and moola, moola.
You know, we contribute to a lot of very liberal causes. I don't know what to tell you. Who is this midget?
Hey.
All right, hold on. All right. Thank you very much, Frank.
Telling me my business, you little...
Where does that guy get off calling me that? You know, I came on your program, Mr. Henry, to talk about something cultural, all right? And I told you that I would explain it the best way I knew how. Now, I had a young lady who I was dating, and I told you, yes... she wanted to see the store. I took her down to Fraser Foods. And, hold on for a minute. She took Barbara's back. I took her to Fraser. Now I got to tell the story in front of Barbara. This is an ex-girlfriend. I'm not seeing her anymore. It's an ex. Oh God.
Hold on, Margaret. Are you there?
I am, Phil. I can't wait to hear this story. I'm going to say this, and I'll let it go at that. First of all, Mr. Green. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you know, making love to your girlfriend, asking her to lay there really still, and then cooling her down with ice cubes. Barbara's back here. I want to just say this. I had sex with a girl in the meat freezer at the store. Why? Okay, I'll tell you why. Because it had shut her up. See, this is what I mean. I've never heard anything. Barbara's back. Let me talk. Can I talk to Barbara? Barbara, this is Margaret Gray. If you're the girlfriend of this man, I'm not going to let her talk to you. You're not going to let her talk to me. Are you listening to this?
Okay. If he doesn't want her to talk to you, he's not going to let her talk to you. I think the sides have been all very well articulated here. You know, we do have Debbie Daly, who is standing by. We're going to have her after the break.
Would you please give her my best? I love her. She's a wonderful girl. What was that? Never mind. You know, I wanted to just ask. Is she... Yes, she's still room temperature. I didn't ask that at all. I wanted to know if she's the one that does the morning show on public radio.
Yes, she does. She's going to be here in just a minute. Hang on. Wow. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss with Margaret Gray, Robert Green, Frank Gray, and Debbie Daly will be coming up in a moment. She hosts Daly's Daily every day on public radio. as we discussed the Egyptian law that would make it legal for a man. It's called the Farewell Intercourse Law, by the way. I just found that out, which I guess could be interpreted as farewell intercourse. That allows a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours after her death. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You really are a pig. You know that? Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show here with Margaret Gray and Robert Green and Debbie Daly will be with us. You wanted to, Margaret, clarify something.
Well, I want to clarify something without a lot of this childish talk because I am very offended. And please, Mr. Green, allow me to finish. You made mention, both of you, to a man that I met at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, okay, in 2002.
Yeah.
All right. The cucumber sauce, the green sauce. You said you thought it was cucumber. Would you, can I finish, please?
All right.
When I was in Dublin, and I told you, Phil, I was doing that series of reports on the tech economy of Ireland.
Right.
And that's when I met Kieran. And Kieran, this is, you know, when Frank and I were separated briefly. And Kieran and I made love. All right? And you're a happily married woman, huh? Would you ask this gentleman to shut his mouth, please?
All right, Bob.
He was the one that had been eating the cucumber sandwich. And when I saw the cucumber sauce, I thought, for a moment, and I don't think it's that unusual, my God, he's a leprechaun, because I thought it was his, I guess, bodily fluid. Oh, God. What do you mean, oh, God? That makes me want to vomit. How stupid are you?
And Margaret, you got to be kidding.
Oh, well, you listen to the two of you. What do you mean you got to be kidding?
You thought he was a leprechaun.
Well, I thought there was, it was green, okay?
It was cucumber sauce. Didn't you know the guy was eating a cucumber sandwich?
First of all, Phil, you don't have to eat a cucumber sandwich. It can be a hero. It can be lamb, a ground lamb. Yes. Do you eat them? No, I don't. And now I'll never eat one as long as I live, because I'll be thinking of your boyfriend and his green cucumber sauce. Good night.
I didn't hang up the phone.
Well, then why don't you hang it up, Frank?
Butch.
Wow. All right.
You see, I got to tell you something, Phil. That proves right there what I'm saying. A lot of women just never shut up.
All right. Debbie Daly joining us from Public Radio's Daly's Daily. And she's on the line right now in New York. And Debbie, it's good to have you on the line with us. We're very, very grateful for you to join us. You've been listening to this discussion about this law that says it would make it legal for a man to have sex with the corpse of his wife for up to 6 hours in Egypt. What say you? Oh, by the way, I got to explain something, okay? I know you're not fair. I have to explain to people that you are hearing impaired.
Oh, I was wondering what the hell's wrong with her. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hold on. She's hearing impaired, ladies and gentlemen. She is the only hearing impaired individual with a talk show on public radio.
Well, yeah, no wonder. I mean, it's the only place she'd get hired. What?
She says, do you want to throw down?
Oh, yeah, sure. Throw down? I don't know.
She says she's getting angry at the things you're saying, talking about a man making love to a corpse. Now, let me just finish here, Debbie. So, Debbie Daly, this is Robert Green from Fraser Foods, and, all right, go ahead.
Well, I I got to tell you something, and I mean this in all sincerity.
All right, hold on. She said that when she turned on the show to listen to what was being talked about tonight before she came on, she couldn't believe her ears that the two of us are discussing the viability of a law that would allow a man to have sex with a dead body. And she said that then when she heard you talking your girlfriend into cooling down her skin, it reminded her of some serial killers that she's read about. And then she just said, would you please shut up? I haven't finished talking.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
I mean, this is the first time I've ever been on an English language show. And, you know, when you go on a show where they speak English, there's a comfort level that you feel. I feel it. I feel, thank God. At least I'm going to be on a show where they're speaking English, they're all speaking English, and I'm in America, and it's English, because, Phil, I was in countries for the last 3 weeks. You've never seen anything like it. It was every kind of pig Latin, I shouldn't say, you know?
You know, you're talking about someone's mother tongue. Pig Latin is not exactly the word to come up with. She said, why should she be surprised the way you're talking?
And what language are you speaking?
You really think you know everything, but you don't know everything.
No, I asked you what language you speak. Are you speaking dumb? Is that what it, dumb?
You don't. They haven't used the word dumb in years. She is hearing impaired.
No, I didn't mean dumb that way. I mean dumb, as in stupid. Are you speaking stupid?
She said, if you saw me, you'd be petrified.
No doubt.
What an ass.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Oh, I can't say that. She, okay, she just,
Yeah, she hung up. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? She came on the show.
Yes, a woman that can't even be understood. I mean, and then another woman that believed she had sex with a leprechaun. I got to laugh at that, Phil. I'm sorry. Sex with a leprechaun. You know?
I don't know. I heard the story. I thought it was a Greek guy. I don't know. Okay? All I know is that when you begin to justify a law or a proposed law about having sex with a dead body, you're going to get a lot of people calling up with very angry opinions.
Well, you know, I wasn't saying anybody was an idiot. I wasn't calling anybody any names. I was trying to justify it. And I got two women, one of whom I shouldn't say this, but that woman, that Daly, she sounds like she had a lot of you-know-whats in her mouth. And I got to...
Thank you very much, Bob. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you cut me? Don't hit me up.
Phil Hendry.
To you, it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, live here from the El Pacifico every night. The roiling surf behind us. Every night we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch.
Yeah!
And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We welcome you to our program. We are in the midst a little bit here of a healthcare debate. I'm going to bring one of our listeners on from New England, from Massachusetts, Dennis, here in a minute. R.C. Collins is going to join us from Bradley Military Academy later on in the program to talk death penalty. What has that got to do with the military? Well, we'll find out. And we've got other news to cover tonight. We also want to mention to you that tomorrow it is episode 12 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast, and we've got a another record breaker, man. Tomorrow, we've got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on our free Phil Henry podcast talking about belt sanding cars during the D.C. sniper scare. And wait till you hear the grief that he takes from a couple of veterans. That's just part of it. And then we've got a double shot of Ted Bell. Now, next week, we are going to roll out our first ever best of one individual character on the show, the best of Ted Bell. It'll be available for download on our website, philhenryshow.com. It'll be available for download the individual tracks or the entire selection, collection, the best of Ted Bell.
You said Ted Bell.
It's Ted Bell.
Well, his name is Ted Bell, though, right?
His name's Ted Bell, yeah.
Why do you spell it?
B-E-L-L.
But instead of, you spell B-I-L-L.
No, it ain't Ted Bill, Ted Bell. Okay?
That was a Tony Bill who was a producer.
That's fine, there was a Tony Bill that was a producer. I'm talking about the Ted Bell who's a steakhouse guy. Excuse me, if you don't mind, let me continue.
Sorry.
Ted Bell will be rolling out, baby, the best of Ted Bell next week on our website, philhenryshow.com. Look for it. Available in our shop, all the downloads, or individually or together. Okay, 877-876-7445 is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And as I mentioned to you, we've got Dennis on the line. Dennis is a listener. And where are you listening to us, Dennis?
Well, right now I'm in Brantford, Massachusetts, Phil, but I live in the Boston area, and I wanted to, talk about the Obama health care.
I understand that.
And that the Supreme Court tomorrow is going to be ruling on this, and I think it's very important.
It very much is important, sir, yes.
And I think that the American people are going to be looking very carefully at what the Supreme Court does. And
are you in favor or opposed?
I'm in favor of it, and I'll tell you why. I know it's very controversial, but we've got to do something in this country. We've got to figure it out, because right now the money that we're spending on health care is astronomical, and I'm not an eloquent man. I don't do what you do, for instance, Mr. Henry, for a living. My line of work is a construction business, and that's what I've known, and I've been doing it for 35 years. But I can tell you, being involved in that line of work, the health care bill is very important.
All right. Tell me, you are in favor, and I think traditionally, and especially talk radio, seems to be a traditionally conservative, well, I shouldn't say conservative medium, but, well, though I aesthetically it's conservative, but I'm saying politically we seem to hear a lot from conservatives. Would you consider yourself a liberal?
No, I wouldn't. And I don't necessarily believe that to be a conservative, you've got to be opposed to the health care. I'm a conservative, and I am not opposed to health care. I'm in favor of health care.
And as a conservative, did you vote for Obama or did you vote for McCain?
I voted for Obama.
Now, that's unusual, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how other people voted. I'm just telling you how I voted, and I'm telling you that I voted for Obama. But I am politically, I'm very conservative. Economically, I'm very conservative.
What do you think is what has changed? Because do you think that a health care bill is, health care legislation is consistent with you being a conservative?
Yes, sir, I do, because I think the cost of health care is so out of control that all of the working people of this country are affected, and the business people of the country are affected, and it causes economic disadvantage for a lot of them, and it causes economic hardship for a lot of them. And so, from my way of thinking, I think that it is a good conservative point of view. I know there's a lot of conservatives that don't believe in health care, but it's costing my family more money than we have. We can't continue to pay these monthly insurance bills of $700, $800, $900, $1,000, $1,200 to insure my family. And my wife is looking at a surgical procedure right now that is going to cost quite a bit of money. And we don't have it.
What? I'm sorry. Your wife is now looking at surgery. Is this a life-threatening condition?
It is a cosmetic condition that is something that she's had to deal with since she was a teenage girl that has caused her a great deal of psychological pain, you know, as well as the physical limitations.
She's going in for surgery.
Yes, sir. She's going in for a cosmetic procedure called a gluteal implant in the buttocks because she has been since she was pubescent, I guess, an adolescent girl. She has been very, very without any shape there. There's no shape and there's no tone, and she's had to deal with the inability, you know, to really be satisfied as a woman, you know, to look like a woman. She's had to deal with this. I know that there are people who go through a lot of things in life that they need a doctor, and they need to pay for it, and they can't afford it. So I know I'm not just speaking for my own family.
Your name is Dennis, right?
Right, Phil. It's Dennis Shaw, and I live in Boston. I'm in Brantford, Massachusetts right now.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this. We'll open our phone lines up for after our break. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. But I want to ask you, do you think that a buttock implant or gluteal implants, as they're called, is a necessary surgery? Because cosmetic surgery, a lot of it is not covered by insurance.
I don't know if this is... Well, I will tell you, yes, it is necessary, and it very much should be covered by insurance. And I will tell you that right now we don't have insurance to cover not only this, but we don't have insurance to cover a lot of necessary medical procedures that we need. Dental insurance, for instance, what my family doesn't have. We can't afford it. But for my wife to go in for this surgery, which is a surgery that is necessary, but we won't be able to pay for it. She's going to go in and get this surgery done? No, because she has to have it done.
How are you going to have the surgery done if you can't pay for it?
Well, we're going to have the hospital bill us, and we will simply have to ignore the bills, you know. It's kind of the same process that people...
How do you ignore a doctor's bill?
Well, Mr. Henry, it's the same procedure used by people that have walked away from their mortgages, for instance, of their houses. They can't afford it, you know, so they won't pay for the mortgage, but they're still living in the house until such time as there is some formal eviction. But what we're going to have to do, and I don't want to do it, I believe me when I tell you that it isn't anything that I look forward to doing, but we're going to have to have my wife go in for these implants, and then once we are billed by the hospital, we will not pay for it. And
so you're going to go in under false pretenses, sir, you know?
I understand that, but you need to understand, Mr. Henry, and I know there's a lot of people...
No, I know that you are without funds. I understand that.
But what you don't understand is we've got to have this done. My wife goes through year after year after year this kind of torment.
But we're talking about a cosmetic procedure, too.
No, sir, this is not breast implants, sir. This is a gluteal implant so that she has a shape to her hips. Right now she's got a very flat rear end, and it is ugly to me and to a lot of the men that I talk to. And I love my wife, and I want to be proud of her, and I don't want her to suffer.
And all right, well, there's all kinds of suffering when it comes to medical procedure and the lack of medical procedure. I don't know where yours falls.
But you see, this isn't anything that you decide. This is something that we need this, and we need the insurance, and we don't have it. We can't afford it.
But that's the other thing. You're going to go to a hospital, and you're going to have this done, and you're not going to pay for it.
Yes, sir.
But you're going to go under the pretense that you can, though.
Yes, sir. That's what we've been forced into, yeah.
All right. Hang on, Dennis, okay? We'll talk some more about this.
All right, and I appreciate very much you having me on, Phil.
Okay, that's good, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. So his wife's going in for gluteal implants, which is basically a buttock implant. They can't afford it. But he's going in, they're going in anyway. They're going to have the surgery done, and then they'll just say, well, we can't pay the bill. So the Supreme Court is scheduled tomorrow. The Supreme Court is scheduled tomorrow, I believe, to take up and to decide on this matter of Obamacare, national health care, if I have that right, bud.
Double check.
All right, 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are going to be rolling out our Best of Ted Bell in a week. We would certainly like you to join us for that on our website, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget the free Phil Hendry podcast, episode 12, tomorrow, and you can access it there at philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Dennis. He lives in Massachusetts. His wife is scheduled for cosmetic surgery. These are called gluteal implants. Some people call them butt implants or buttock implants. Dennis, and you say that these are necessary. It isn't some vanity thing.
No, sir. No, sir. Because it's a vanity thing for maybe if they were breasts or something like that. I can see that because there are a lot of women who go in for very unnecessary surgery on their breasts because that's what, you know.
I understand.
But this is to make my wife, you know, more appealing for something that's important to me, and that is that she has this implant. It's not about me wanting her to have bigger breasts.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to some phone calls, and then we'll continue talking to Dennis. We got Mike here. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dennis. Go ahead.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, sir.
I'm calling from Fort Knox, Kentucky, and
yes, sir.
You know, my wife just had plastic surgery not too long ago. She had what's called a belt lumpectomy, where it's like a tummy tuck, but it goes all the way around. It lifts the buttocks. It, you know, drops the belly and stuff like that. Years ago, you know, she was 285 pounds, and she had a gastric bypass. Well, then she had the loose skin. So, you know, for her birthday present and everything, you know, we drained the savings and everything to get the surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it put me in debt, you know, because the total surgery was well over, you know, $27,000. But
wow!
You know, and we put it on a credit card and stuff like that. But
yeah,
before they would even cut her, you know, before she could even be taken back, I had to pay $5,700 up front out of the savings, which, you know, we expected it because we talked to the doctor prior to. He explained
and would,
the not,
would they take the $5,700? Would they put the $5,700 on the credit card, or you had to actually pay them cash, or how did that work?
I had to pay them cash.
I want to, Phil, could I say something to this man? Sir, first of all, I think your indication was clear. You said you had to drain your savings. That was the word you used, drain your savings. That's why we need Obamacare, you know, because you had to drain out everything that you have worked your life for, and a lot of Americans are doing that, and I don't think it's right.
All right. And, sir, I understand what you're saying, you know, but, you know, one thing I don't agree with is you saying that you're not going to pay the bill. Because to me, that's called integrity. That's what makes a man. And if you create a bill, that is your job as a man to pay it. You know, and I'm not speaking just as a physical man. I'm speaking as a human being.
Yeah,
you know, that's what makes us a society.
Well, I think that you and Mr. Henry might be old-fashioned guys. Because you know, like me...
What's old-fashioned about that?
Well, because you can't... Nowadays, it used to be you could do that, but nowadays, if your wife is walking down the street like my wife is, sir, and I don't know, you say your wife is overweight. My wife walks down the street, and she has no... It's flat. She has no rear end, and it is... It's difficult to look at. And so...
But would you call that a necessary surgery?
Yes, well, I would, very much.
It is kind of necessary. You know, like my wife, it's something that she's been wanting for a long time. It builds
sure.
her self-esteem, her self-confidence.
There you go.
You know,
that's what I'm talking about.
So,
that's what I'm talking about.
I do understand that aspect.
But
me loving my wife. We've only been married for 2 years.
And she had a weight problem from what, having children or something like that?
No, she's been big her whole life.
And you still married her. But see, if you already knew that she was a large woman, maybe it's necessary. But my wife never had a good rear end.
She had the gastric bypass before we ever met.
Who, my wife?
And
my wife never had that surgery.
No, his wife.
No, my wife.
Oh, all right. What?
My wife had the gastric bypass before we ever met.
Right.
And you know, she has the loose skin from losing so much weight. You know, she's 132 pounds.
What I'm trying to say is this is very necessary surgery. So you said I'm going to tell them that I can pay for it, but I'm not going to pay. And why? That's what Americans are being forced into, Phil. They're being forced into this. And
nobody's forcing you into not paying a bill.
When you have medical needs, I've been having this argument for a lot of months, Mr. Henry, so I know what I'm talking about.
What did you want to say, Mike?
Okay. Once again, I would like to hit that is called integrity. Okay, and
the reason why we have to have
Obamacare and all these other, you know, substandard or Section 8 housing and pay more in taxes is because of people like yourself who are racking up bills and not paying them.
But what do you do when you have a medical emergency?
That's just not a medical emergency.
No,
I just don't see a medical emergency.
You are wrong. I got to tell you, ask any woman in America if walking down the street and her pants are saggy like she's a man.
Okay.
If that's not something that is a psychological, very hard.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Like
I got to take a break here. Mike, I appreciate your call, though, man. I got to get to some other calls here. I don't know how much time we have. Let's go over to Lauren. Lauren, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling
about
this guy that's getting his wife some implants for her buttocks. And I was wondering...
Gluteal implants, yes, ma'am.
Gluteal implants.
Called gluteal implants, yeah.
Does he think that Obamacare is going to cover that? Like, would you rather have the government regulate everything? Or would you rather, you know, take out a loan like Mike did and pay for it like a man... make payments on it like a person, like an American, you know, pay your bills? Or would you rather have the government tell you that you can, and who knows what's even in that bill, that maybe you can only get one implant, and you're walking around with half an ass? I mean,
it's either that or nothing gets paid for. You see what I'm saying? Because if we don't have Obamacare, then let's say your son or your daughter loses an arm in an accident, and somebody says to you, hey, why don't you pay the bill like a woman and not complain about it, you know?
We're not talking about losing an arm here, though, sir. We're talking about cosmetic surgery. Lauren, hold on. Lauren, I want you to hold the line, and we'll be right back, okay? 877-876-PHIL.
I'm not going to pay for it if I can't afford it.
Hold on. We're taking a break here. With more of your calls on Obamacare, the Supreme Court will be making a profoundly important decision. They'll be deciding on the life or the death of Obamacare either tomorrow or sometime this week. It's world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
For my wife, they have gluteal implants, so her ass is shapely.
Hold on.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with caller Dennis from Massachusetts. And Dennis, I thought one of the interesting things you said early on is that you're conservative, politically conservative, correct?
Yeah, I would say very much so, yes, sir.
And but you are a big fan of Obamacare. And the reason why I say but you're a big fan of Obamacare is because, you know, conservatives are not known to be fans of Obamacare.
Well, I think that if you are talking to conservatives that are using their brains, I think you would find that there'd be a lot more conservatives that are in favor of it. But I find that there's a lot of conservatives that are not. They're sort of knee-jerk conservatives. They opposed Obama just because he was a Democrat and he was black, you know, and you find a lot of that.
Well, I mean, you're saying conservatives automatically are opposed to black skin.
No, but I know a lot sort of vote like that. But I think in my case, we believe in more of a libertarian kind of view where if it's necessary, you have to, you know, whatever's necessary, right? And my wife...
See, the question here is your wife's surgery a necessary medical emergency? Not an emergency, but is it really a necessary medical... Is she going to die if she doesn't get implants, gluteal implants?
Is she going to die? Well, you're not going to die. You're not going to die if you don't get reconstructive surgery for if you had a mastectomy and they had to make two new breasts for you. You're not going to die if they don't make two new breasts for you. But I don't know if there's not any national health care plan with very much they get you front of the line to have the breasts made. And
But you understand what I'm saying? You're saying your wife is unshapely.
I'm not just saying she's unshapely. I'm saying that when my wife puts on a pair of pants, it looks like an old man is wearing them. It looks like an old man. If you've ever seen the way an old man looks in a pair of pants, and I don't want it to make it sound like I'm looking at old men wearing pants or anything like that.
No, I know what you're saying. Old elderly men who lose a lot of weight, you know, don't have the weight, they don't have the muscle tone they used to have. So what, the pants are baggy?
It's more than baggy. There's a complete lack of this. There is a complete lack of shape there. There's nothing there. Just the pant hangs. And this is psychologically damaging to her. It's also psychologically damaging to me because I'm walking down the street with her. And so I know there's people looking at her and they're wondering about me. And
what are they wondering about you? What are you worried about? Your first concern is your wife.
Yes, my first concern is my wife. But then my second concern is going to be, how does this reflect on me walking down the street with a woman who has this kind of a body?
Boy, we talked about integrity. We're also, we've got a decided lack, I think, here of depth in terms of your feelings for your wife. Here is Lauren. Go ahead, Lauren. I'm sorry we had to put you on hold there during the break.
Hi, that's okay. I understand where he's coming from with, you know, as a woman, I understand body issues and things like that. However,
right.
I'm very embarrassed for your wife, Dennis, that you're on here talking about her like that.
I mean, I have to say something because I don't think we're addressing the problem as a country. My wife,
I totally understand where you're coming from, and yeah, it would be nice if insurance companies covered elective surgeries like that, but the fact is that they don't, and it's not going to, shoving this enormous piece of legislation down our throats and in our pocketbooks is not going to make your wife have implants paid for by the government. I don't want to pay for them. You're obviously not going to pay for them.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I think that Obamacare, we don't know. You say
exactly.
Elective surgery. That was the first thing that I picked up on there was you said elective surgery. This is not elective surgery.
It is elective surgery.
No, ma'am. She must have this surgery.
And why must she have it?
She doesn't have to have
because
it.
Because I want.
She doesn't sound like she has cancer and she's having a mastectomy or something like that. She's getting a butt implant, which is the same reason why women get breast implants. And I understand that. No, I understand.
I can tell you that our marriage isn't going to last if she doesn't
have
this.
Okay, so why should we pay for that?
Because you just said you won't pay for elective surgery. It's not elective. It's an emergency. And
what makes it an emergency?
Your ass implants are not an emergency. I'm sorry.
Ma'am, you can laugh. Well, let me ask. Can I be allowed to say it?
Yeah, go ahead. But everybody's trying to be heard here, Dennis. So
I apologize, but this lady laughs. Maybe she was born with a nice looking, if I can use the word, ass. You know, but my wife has got an ass like a 95-year-old man.
Okay, well, I'm sorry that she has that. We all have bumps and bruises and freckles and big butts, big boobs, small boobs, and you do that kind of thing so that you feel better about yourself, not because it's an emergency. It's not an emergency. Your insurance
doesn't
cover something like that.
Why do you call it an emergency?
Obamacare is not going to leave her.
I will leave her if she doesn't get an ass.
Why is that our problem? You're not going to pay your bill. You're going to get your wife's butt implants and not pay the bill. That's going to go on somebody.
Okay. Why is anybody's medical problem our problem? Well, that's the question.
That's the question.
Socialized medicine. Are you serious?
Exactly. That's what a lot of people are asking, Dennis. I don't necessarily disagree with you on Obamacare, but it is the question that everybody's asking. Why is this our cost?
Because, Mr. Henry, as I said to you at the very outset,
he wants his wife to have a bigger butt.
No, ma'am, because I can't afford it. I cannot afford it. I've been a conservative my whole life.
Then don't get it.
Are you kidding?
I don't go out and buy a car. Hey, you know what? I don't go out and get liposuction because I want to feel better about myself. I don't get it. You work out at the gym. You do things. There's other things. She could buy, like, a Spanx with a butt lift in them. There's other things that you can do other than getting surgery.
Ma'am, with all due respect, she can buy those Spanx, like you call it. The minute she drops her pants at night, guess what? I get to see.
Okay, let's. You know, the lady said, "Have a little respect for your wife." I think we're talking about her now, like she's
seriously
an object.
I'm sorry, but are you kidding? The minute she takes the Spanx off, she's got the same flabby ass. And
you know what? The lady here is making the point of other things. You can get a Stairmaster. You can do curls using weights on the legs.
You could have not married her.
Are you serious?
You could have not married her. I'm sure she hasn't had a butt her entire life. Why did you marry her if you weren't attracted to her?
Because there was a business opportunity. I owed it to my family.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you kidding me?
No, Mr. Henry, I love my wife.
Sir. Are you kidding me?
I feel sorry for your wife.
Your business opportunity didn't work out too good.
No, excuse me. Allow me to say something here.
No, your business opportunity didn't work out very good, man, if you can't afford surgery now. So what business opportunity?
Mr. Henry, at the time, it was a very good opportunity with a father.
How embarrassing.
Oh, brother.
How embarrassing for your wife, sir. Oh, my gosh. If my husband was talking about me the way you're talking about your wife, I would be devastated. Yes. Devastated.
Well, no. Well, you may have a very sensitive nature. I don't know what your problem is.
No. The lady's talking.
Your whole argument is ridiculous.
No, ma'am. Not when you consider the fact that people have elective surgery.
Yes, sir.
It speaks volumes
to your character and your integrity, sir.
What about bald treatments? That's insurance. I know that's covered by insurance.
Certain treatments for baldness are. Others are not. Certain treatments like topical medicines, but I don't think the surgery. You're not going to get a insurance to pay for that.
I beg to differ. If you've seen the commercials, they say, and we do pay for your bald head, or whatever, however they say that. Now, this lady doesn't like what I'm saying.
All right, listen, I'm going to let this lady go. Lauren, thank you very much. Good points that you made. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to move on to Elisa here. Finish your point there, Dennis.
My point was simply this, that my wife, I love her very much. I married her because her father was in the grain business, and there was an opportunity. But I do love her.
Okay, Elisa, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air with Dennis and me, Phil Henry.
Okay, Mr. Henry. Okay, yeah. First I'd like to say I love listening to your show. I listen every chance I get.
Thank you.
That's how I caught this beauty of a story. For one thing, I'd like to say I'm an African-American woman, and I don't want to say how old I am, but when I was a
young husband,
girl.
I bet your husband has no complaints at all.
Hold on. Let's let the lady talk. Hold on.
Now, when I was a young girl, I unfortunately was blessed by the Lord with this gluteus maximus that all these women seem to want to have now. I see actress after actress, person after person going to go get their butts cut open to get some fat put in their behinds. Now, that doesn't make any sense. A booty implant is just like a breast implant or a facelift. It's something that a woman is getting to beautify herself. And I have to say, in defense of your wife, if I was your wife and you was on the radio talking about my behind, like you talking about hers, we'd be getting a divorce. And I'd be looking into that business deal you made to marry me in the first place.
Well, wait
because
a minute.
That's not nothing that you want to say on radio about the woman you keep claiming to love.
That kind of love,
I would hate for you to hate that woman. Because
you don't
want to pay the bill. That's like a deadbeat dad.
I can't, man.
I'm a taxpayer. If you don't pay that bill,
yes, ma'am.
I'm going to end up paying that bill. And for one, I ain't going to see the booty. I'm not going to
touch the
booty.
But if we have Obamacare, that pays for it. Obamacare will pay for it. That's why I'm in favor
of... Now, about Obamacare...
That I'm saying about
and
that?
And again, I'm an African-American.
Can I just say one thing?
And ain't no love
I would give
law.
Anything
now,
to be married to a woman like
can,
you. Oh,
you
God,
say,
would I love it.
Can you say martial law? Obamacare is one step to martial
law.
That's what I have
martial
much
law
hear people say when they talk about this stuff. If you let this man force you to get medical care... What's going to stop him from forcing you to be in your house by 8 o'clock? If you don't
all he's trying to
medical,
do is to help me pay for my family.
That's not the American way. I don't know what Mr. Obama's thinking, but that's not that's not their vision.
You can say that.
To do what they want
us
to do.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go ahead. Final point here, Dennis. Then we got to take a break.
I just wanted to say to the lady, first of all, I think it's easy for her to say because, as she said, the Lord blessed her with a butt that, you know, and I'll say this with the greatest of respect. You know, I wish I was, you know, I love my wife, but I wish I was married to her. I mean,
Your wife could be listening to this.
No, I'm just saying, if the butt, you know, I don't know anything about Elisa, but.
Yeah, you just want a woman with a nice size ass.
I didn't say ass. You're using the word ass. I'm talking about gluteal enhancements, you know? And Obama's going to give me an opportunity to wake up next to a woman that's got it's got an ass.
No, he's not.
What are you getting emotional?
I'm getting emotional because there's so many people don't understand. This lady is... Her husband's happier than a pig in slop because he wakes up next to her every morning, and I got a...
And you got this wife that's listening to the show tonight.
Okay, she's
and
listening.
She's
honey,
fine.
You know, if my wife's listening, I love you, baby, but your ass ain't making it.
What a thing to say.
She should divorce you.
Elisa, thank you. I've got to take a break. I appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. I love you, baby, but your ass ain't making it. Well, I'm sure it's been said many times in the history of our country, from the revolutionary period forward, but it has never, ever, in my opinion, been wrapped around a discussion on national health care. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com every night with our live video cast of the show. So if you want to watch us on our video cast, you can certainly watch the show as well as listen to it. It's our radio show, it so happens, is the one radio show that's worth watching because most of them are a little a little dull. 877-876-7445. Dennis on the line with us here from a listener of ours from Boston, and talking about Obamacare. Tomorrow, at some point, the Supreme Court takes up the issue of Obamacare. Will this become the law of the land? Will it? Is it constitutional? That is always the big question. And before we get back to some calls here, Dennis, have you had any thoughts on that?
Mr. Henry, yes, I have had thoughts on it, and I am not, I don't have any doubt in my mind that it is constitutional. I think that President Obama has is trying to address a very desperate need that the American people have to have these medical procedures taken care of. A lot of these are out of pocket. Insurance companies are not going to deal with the breast or butt or gluteal implant. And I want to say also, people may say to me that the gluteal implant is not necessary or emergency. However, if I was talking about my wife having breast implants, now maybe people can relate.
And I still don't think anybody would say it's a necessary procedure.
I think you're wrong. I think the obsession that we have in this country, which I think is childish, the obsession we have with the size of breasts in this country is ridiculous and childish. And yet, I don't think there's anyone that would argue that the insurance company shouldn't pay for it.
I think you. I disagree.
I disagree with you. You know.
Okay, that's fine. 877-876-7445. Let me go over here to Kathy. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kathy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just have a comment for Dennis, the remarks that he's making and all about that he feels that it's something that needs to be done. I've got breast cancer about 6 years ago as a single mom. I had no help, no support, you know, going through it. I did not elect all this stuff that he's talking about, that when you go through breast cancer, you can have reconstructive surgery and it's paid for. It's not. You still have to pay to have it done if you choose to.
Canada. I met up in Canada, they do it. I met National Healthcare. It would be paid for with National Healthcare.
I had insurance. I paid to have insurance and all, but it does not cover everything that you go through. The surgery I had to pay a percent on it. I busted my butt and I did it. I did not get it for free, what I had to go through.
But I mean, if we had Obamacare, they'd give you two, you know, you get two new ones. I shouldn't say new ones, but I mean.
No, Obamacare is not going to take everything. People, you saying you can't afford to pay for the surgery for her
ma'am.
To have it?
I can't. Yeah, I can't.
You can't afford to have it done, and you're not going to pay the bills. Who do you think is going to pay that?
Well, the American people, but the American people will pay for it anyway if we have Obamacare. And this is necessary surgery.
You keep calling it necessary. This lady went through breast cancer. Your wife just doesn't have a shapely ass, excuse my language.
No, it's not just not shapely. When I talked to the lady before, that lady, Elisa, who said she had a really big behind or however, I got emotional. I started to cry. And the reason I started to cry was because I imagine having a wife that had a butt like that, I guess if you want to call it that, and that I would never have that.
Well, then you should have chose that. You should have chose somebody that had that instead of going after what you did. You're selfish. You don't consider your wife, and you say you love your wife, but if you did, you wouldn't be online on the phone trying to do this. A man married me knowing I have no breasts, and he doesn't look at it that I look like a man. There are other options that you can take.
I wouldn't mind that. I don't care. I wouldn't mind if you did not have any breasts, because I like a nice size butt. That's all I want. I don't care. So I'd be like your man, you know.
But I'm just saying, if he chose like you when I'm out of my clothes and I don't have breasts to look at, then he's not a man, and I'm sorry. I don't consider you a man because you want a big butt wife that you're putting your wife down like you are.
I'm saying that I love her, and I want her to have
No, you don't
okay,
love her.
I wanted to have what I wanted to have, but...
Do you want her to have what she wants to have? Do you want her to have what she wants to have?
She wants to have... Well, she wants breast implants, and I told her that is vain and unnecessary. And what is necessary is a big butt. And I know that that's... I'm sorry if you laugh, ma'am. How can you laugh at me when you don't have breasts?
What is that supposed to mean?
That is right. I don't because of medical issues and all, and I choose not to. I chose another direction to go.
I don't mean to be offensive, but everybody's yelling at me.
What are you crying about, man? Because your wife doesn't have a big butt?
Yes.
You know, you are very selfish, sir.
All I ask for is to get up in the morning next to a woman that doesn't have the ass to Walter Brennan.